We pray. O Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. Dearly beloved, awaiting the King who came and comes again in glory, grace and peace to you. If a tree falls in the forest, does it really make a sound? Of course. It's a dumb question. The laws of physics aren't suspended because I'm not there. If the tree falls, the sound waves move whether or not they ever touch anybody's ear. See, my perception or reception of an event doesn't change the event. It's also like a famous experiment that I only recently found out what was really going on with. Schrodinger's cat, maybe you've heard of it. I didn't realize exactly how kind of cruel it was. Well, in this experiment, he takes a cat, he puts it in a box. And inside the box, there is a little thing emitting small amounts of radiation. And when the level of radiation in the box reaches a critical point, it will cause a little hammer to fall and break a vial of poison, and the cat will die. The box is closed, and no one who is observing the experiment knows when this will happen. So, according to Schrodinger, this proves that there are multiple realities. Because if you're watching the box and you don't know whether or not the cat has died, to you it is both dead and alive at the same time. And that's dumb. It's not true. The cat has either died or it hasn't. You just don't know it. Your knowing it doesn't change the objective reality. One more example. When I was a kid, I'd have to go to bed early sometimes before the, you know, Monday night or Sunday night Packer game was over. And I'd wake up in the morning really anxious to find out what had happened in the game. And also a little nervous. Because until you find out, to you, I mean, it could be anything. If you find out they won, oh, yeah, you're excited. If you find out they lost, oh, man. And before you find out, you don't experience that yet. But it doesn't change the fact of what happened. Now, what does this have to do with Christmas and John 1 and the Word made flesh? Well, imagine if the world were empty. And year by year, the earth kept spinning. And the sun kept shining in a thousand brilliant colors across the evening sky. The mountains still stood majestic. The seas still roared. The leaves fell in autumn in their brilliant hues. And then soon were covered with fine white crystal at the first fall of snow. What would any of it matter? There was no one there. No one to walk through that first snow, to be amazed at the way that a red cardinal stands out against the white, normally, and green of December. What would it matter? See, our perception or reception of event doesn't change the event, but it changes whether or not it matters to us. And so it is with Christmas. Does a tree make a sound if there's no one there to hear it? Of course. But is it really Christmas if there's no one there to cheer it? If there are presents under the tree but no little hands eager to open them? If there are lights twinkling but no hearts lifted by their soft glow, what would it matter? If the wood is crackling merrily in the hearth and there's food and drinks and cookies, who cares? If there's no one there to enjoy it and to share it? A soldier is halfway around the world. And he knows that his family is gathering at Christmas as they always have. His mom, his father, his little sister, his wife, and their new baby. They're gathered around the tree, but he's not there. Is it Christmas for him? Is it Christmas for them? And when we come to Christmases of the future, where the people who filled our Christmases past are no longer there, is it still Christmas? How much of Christmas can you lose? And it's still Christmas. What is Christmas? All of this, all that Christmas is, and all that we feel it's meant to be, and all that we feel the loss of so keenly when it's gone, this is what God meant for us. And 1,000 times more, when in the beginning, this God, so full of light and joy and glory and love, burst forth in a creation of the same. And this is what he desired, to share his fullness with people who could understand it, see it, receive it, and give it back to him. This is what he wanted for you and me. For if there is a God and no one there to see him, does he really exist? Well, of course, that's the dumbest question I've asked all night. If our perception or reception of a tree falling in the forest doesn't change it, it certainly doesn't change God. God matters in a way that no tree ever could. He is the beginning and the ending of all things. All things were made through him and for him. He is the life and source of all and gives to all things their meaning, because that tree falling in the forest, well, at least one person heard it. God did. All things exist through him and for him. But this wasn't good enough for God. It wasn't good enough for him that he should be without us. Oh, it didn't change him to be without us. But it wasn't good enough for him that we should be without him. And so while our perception or reception of God, of who he is, doesn't change him, it sure changes us. And this is what God wanted for you. He did not want you to be alone for Christmas, because all that God is would not matter to you at all if you could not hear and behold and receive him. And at the heart of it, that's what Christmas is. It is a joy shared. It is God's joy shared from him to us and us with one another. This is what he wanted to share with his people. And so, as we read in Exodus of old, he came and dwelt in the midst of his people. He told Moses to build that tabernacle right in the center of the 12 tribes. And there he came down in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to show them that he was with them. From there, his word came to them. There he led and guided them. Whenever the cloud would move out, they would pick up their tents and follow. And wherever it stopped there, they would pitch their camp. And there at the entrance to the tent, they could come and meet with him. Except, not really. Because see, in the very way that he showed them he was among them, he also showed them that they were apart from him. Because they couldn't go in there, most of them. And even the ones who could, the priests who could go into that first door, only one could go into the second door, into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, with cherubim overlaid with gold, and above them the mercy seat. And that guy, he could only go in once a year. And at the time that God filled this temple in our text in Exodus, Moses couldn't go in at all. He was so filled with this smoke of God's glory that he couldn't enter. And we're told in another place that when that priest, that high priest, would go into the Holy of Holies, if he would look between the cherubim at the mercy seat, he would see that cloud of smoke so that he would not see the glory of the Lord, because no one may see God and live. And you know, that wasn't good enough for God. It wasn't good enough for God that he should dwell among his people in a way that they could not see him. It wasn't good enough for him that the main thing they knew about his love was his law. Now, God's law is a perfect expression of love, but if a law of love is given and no one keeps it, is it really love at all? This is what ruins Christmas. We do. This is what separated us from God when all he wanted was us. This is what leads to wars and empty houses and empty hearts. We try to cover it all up with the trappings of Christmas, the way that snow, if we get some again, can cover up the mud beneath. But inside we know the truth that by nature we are empty. We are empty because sin has emptied us. It has separated us from God, and God is our fullness. There can be no Christmas without him. By nature, we can't see him, and unless we do, there can be no life. We cannot hear him, and unless we do, there can be no light. We cannot hold him, and unless we do, there can be no joy. I think of all the things that have ever, you know, to one degree or another, sort of ruined Christmas, put a damper on your celebrations. Maybe a loved one missing because they died. Death came into the world through sin. Maybe a family split apart by divorce, and somebody at least left out in the cold because of sin. Maybe everybody's there, but there are feelings of resentment, bitterness, anger, arguing because of sin. Maybe somebody's disappointed. Maybe you once or more than once, were disappointed with what you got or didn't get for Christmas because of your own selfish sinfulness. All of it, wars, pandemics, death, all of it is the result of sin. Your sins and mine barred the door to paradise and separated us from God so that you could not partake of his love and joy and fullness. That's what ruins Christmas. So the Word became flesh. The Word, all of it, every word that God ever gave us about himself and every word that he would have, except that human language couldn't contain it. It is as if the prophets of old, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, have etched a sketch of Jesus, and God, in his Holy Spirit, breathed life into it. He is every promise, every prophecy, every jot and tittle of the Old Testament word made flesh. It's all about him, and it is all seen in him. That's what John said. Yeah, I know that later he said no one has ever seen God, but he also said we have seen his glory. The glory that had to be hidden by the thick cloud, the glory that we sinners cannot abide, we have seen in Jesus. That's what John is saying, that every single last bit of all that God is seen completely in this child. Mary held him, and he gave her light. Joseph saw him, and he was his joy. The disciples followed him around the way that the 12 tribes of old followed the pillar of cloud, and so wherever they went, whether in a house or in a tent or with nowhere to lay their heads, they were home because he was with them. This child, Emmanuel, God with us. He is joy and peace and love and light and Christmas all wrapped up in one. For in this man, in this flesh and blood, God overcame that which separated you from him. That flesh went to the cross. That flesh was whipped and pierced and pounded. That flesh, that word, that man, divine, died. He took away the sin of the world. He took away the wrath of God. And so there can be no wrath left. If he has taken all God's wrath, how can there be any left for you? And this is true objectively. Whether anyone knows it or not, this God-man died on a tree, whether anyone saw it or not. He died for the sins of the world, whether anyone knows it or not. And this either means everything to you or nothing. Because again, while our perception or reception of a thing doesn't change the thing, it sure changes what it means to us. And so, by faith alone, do we partake in this word made flesh. By faith in him, faith which he gives, this redemption and forgiveness and love becomes ours. It is yours. Christmas comes through faith in this word made flesh. For in him, it's all yours. Did you notice, you know, I referenced this earlier, that Jesus is everything that God is. Paul put it this way. He said, in him, the fullness of the deity was pleased to dwell. And John said, of his fullness, we have all received. In word and in sacrament, Jesus gives himself to you completely. He's still dwells among you. And that's the important word here. I forgot to mention it at the beginning. I said before, there's one key word in this text which lets us know that John has in mind those wilderness wanderings. Yeah, we see it a little bit from the use of the word glory, but it's the word dwelt. Literally in Greek, the word is tented. The word became flesh and tented among us. Not a flimsy symbol as of old in the tabernacle, but in the body of Jesus Christ, and in his flesh and blood, he still dwells among you in word and in sacrament. He comes to you. He who is all the fullness of God dwells among you in all his fullness, not just among you, but within you, in your hearts by faith, through the mouth of your body in the sacrament of communion. He comes to dwell with you, to give you all of his fullness, to fill you up. with grace on top of grace. So yeah, if there's a Christmas tree in the forest, lights on the tree and presents underneath and food all around it and no one there to share it, it's not Christmas. And if God existed apart and away from us and we couldn't see him exactly as he is, well, it would never be Christmas. Always winter, never Christmas. But the Word did become flesh and does dwell among you, and of his fullness you have all received grace on top of grace in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.